This is Your Wetlands. Bay Area environmental agencies and organizations are working together to design what they're calling Flood Control 2.0. Partners include the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture, the San Francisco Estuary Partnership, the San Francisco Estuary Institute, and the Bay Conservation and Development Commission, among others. Flood Control 2.0 is a practical and imaginative rethinking focused on the best ways to control flooding around the bay. Usually, this has been done through flood control channels, many of which were designed 50 or even 100 years ago. Flood Control 2.0 raises this question. Are these channels meeting our needs today, particularly when you factor in sea level rise and the ecological services it's hoped the bay can provide? While presenting us with a challenge, Flood Control 2.0 also offers a silver lining, the opportunity to redesign these flood control channels.
The points where creeks entered the bay were really important ecologically. They're how sediment was delivered from local watersheds into marshes to sustain tidal marshlands as sea level rises. And they're where steelhead can find rearing habitat, and a lot of other ecological functions took place in these intersections.
Robin Grosinger is a senior scientist at the San Francisco Estuary Institute.
Today, they have been converted largely to flood control channels, and they don't do that as effectively as we might like. Sediment builds up in many of these channels, and it costs on the order of millions of dollars to dredge them repeatedly to keep them open.
Many of the wetlands and marshes around San Francisco Bay have been replaced. Flood Control 2.0 looks at how those lands are being used today and how they could be used differently in the future.
In some cases, we might actually want those marshlands back as we think about sea level rise, and we want buffers to storm surges and wave energy. And that presents an opportunity where we might be able to gain some improved flood control features and channel maintenance functions from the tidal systems, as well as getting some of the ecological benefits back at the same time.
Robin mentioned that the flood control channels have to be dredged. So I asked him what happens to that dredge material and what is the impact.
It's very difficult to dispose of the dredge material. It's expensive to move. It's expensive to dig out. There's a lot of permitting issues, and sometimes it has issues with contamination. So it creates a real headache for everybody. And the irony is that we're realizing increasingly that that sediment is extremely valuable to the bay. It's exactly what the bay needs to be able to adapt and grow marshes as sea level rises, and as sea level is predicted to rise increasingly fast in the coming decades. We need that sediment so the marshes that we have can continue to build up and that we have the ability to build new marshes. So sediment, which we're digging out, we realize actually is a resource, and we want to look at it as such now, figure out how we can use the natural processes to move it to the right places in the bay rather than trying to truck it somewhere else.
There are many examples around the bay where you can see this type of flood control channel. Some of them are basically concrete-lined ditches. The idea was that these channels could move water faster away from areas which could flood. Robin says that many of these flood control channels build up sediment and in the process actually reduce their flood protection capacity. It turns out many of these channels no longer have natural tidal action, where large volumes of tidal water move back and forth. And as we mentioned, the bay has lost much of its surrounding wetlands. So local flood control agencies are exploring so-called nature-based solutions, where we can bring back some of the tidal wetlands as part of channel design, helping to naturally move sediment and increase channel capacity.
Marshes and mudflats and beaches, the kind of natural surge protection, wave reduction that the bay can produce itself if we support it. And some studies have shown that that means that your engineered or hard protections, your seawalls or levees, can be substantially smaller if you have those marshes out in front of them.
And when it comes to flooding or storm surges, what are the benefits of this approach?
As the water depth decreases, it reduces the height of the waves, so it reduces the energy, absorbs the energy of waves, and so they're reduced fairly rapidly across wetlands and mudflat surfaces. So by the time it gets to that hard surface, which protection which we need to have at the back edge, you're not dealing with as high energy.
Scientists at the San Francisco Estuary Institute are looking at the present, but they're also looking back at history.
Well, history is telling us at least two things in this case. One, it's showing us the features of the bay that the bay can naturally produce that could help us in terms of providing flood protection as well as support some of the ecology that we might like to see in the bay. So it gives us a palette, a template, something to work with.
And Robin says it's also interesting to look at how we have built things and altered the natural landscape.
Sometimes it's worked out well, and sometimes it's created unintended consequences, like the sediment building up in the channels or the loss of wetlands. And so we also see that history shows us that we kind of have a second chance now. A lot of our infrastructure, which was built in the big booms of sort of the 30s, 40s, 50s, a lot of that is going to kind of be due for rebuilding. And so we realize we have a second chance, and this time we will hopefully design these systems more with nature in mind and natural processes so that we make systems that are resilient over the longer run.
My thanks to Robin Grosinger, senior scientist at the San Francisco Estuary Institute. On behalf of the San Francisco Bay Joint Ventures, Your Wetlands Report, I'm Jerry Kaye.